Right, my name is James Alexander from In God We Trust Ministry. I do pray before each recording. If you have not said a prayer before listening to this, please pause this recording and say your prayer and restart it. I also suggest you have your Bible with you and a pen and paper. I will be giving out some Bible verses to for you to follow. You may want to write them down. So I'm going to get this started right now in 1 second, and then we'll proceed. In Matthew 16:27, in the King James Version, I'm going to be reading this from. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, I actually, when I give some verses, you can write them down, but I really strongly suggest that you write that whole Matthew 16. Maybe probably down to that point, maybe another verse after that too, so you get the full concept of what's going on here. Now, I'm going to go to Revelations here, chapter 20, verse 12 to 15 in the King James. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they would judge every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. This is the second death. And so it was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. All right, now, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So it seems that there's going to be a point in time when there will be no more death. It's gone in the lake of fire. And all those who were still in hell will be cast into that lake of fire. And there will be no coming out of there. And notice how the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. So you have good works and you got bad works. Following the Ten Commandments, all of them, is good works. Now, here is James chapter 2. I'm only going to go through chapter 2, 14 to 26, but I'm going to skip some of the verses. Verse 14, what doeth the prophet, my brother, though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? Can faith save him? Now, if you listen to two of the other of my recordings, and I talked about Matthew 7, 21 to 23, where Jesus told people and came out and said, Matthew 7, 21 to 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. All right, the Ten Commandments comes under that. There's other things in the Old Testament, the first five books of the Testament, that you should know about and do your best to follow them. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then Jesus said, and then I will progress unto them, not to him, but to them. I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now, if you want to know more about iniquity and what that's all about, go back to my first recording, my second recording, I'm sorry, at the website called Unrighteous Shall Not Inherit the Kingdom of God. So, it's something that you're going to have to follow after we finish the recording if you haven't followed that. It's important to us to go from the first recording on down to, and then the second, and then today. All right. Now, in Matthew 16:27, I'll say it again. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. But Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 to 10. By faith are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'll repeat that. By grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it seems like there's a little conflict between the book of James and what Jesus said. And what James said again. Chapter 2, verse 14. What doeth it profit, my brother, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? And in verse 18, it says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 26, for it says here, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Okay, we may be saved through grace. You've heard that many times. You've seen it in writing and so forth. But it seems though we're going to be judged by our works. And it was good works and not so good works. And I'm going to give you some examples of some not good works. And by the way, that chapter, Matthew 7, 21 to 23, that covers a lot of things. The will of my Father, what he put in there. All right, in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, this is Paul wrote this. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these. Now he's saying works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lavishness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, and sedition and heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such things of which I tell you before, as also said in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's not a long list of things. Some things you can take a look at what it says, just those words, and that's it. Well, it's not so. I'll give you an example. Spreading gossip from one person to another about an individual can damage that person's reputation. What spirit does this come from? Sometimes a bad spirit uses people to verbally hurt others through the works of spreading gossip. I've been to a demonstration several times in my life about how things change. You tell one person something, and that person tells maybe about 8-10 other people that same what they were told. Just one or two lines, short lines. And by the time you get to the last person, it has changed. There's a lot of times in my life that some bad things were said about me that were not true. Some things that were misinterpreted. Some things that some people, as far as I was concerned, was trying to hurt me through my trying to mess up my reputation. And it's not about religious either. It's about my personal life. I haven't gotten to religious right now because a lot of people don't want to hear nothing I got to say. Because sometimes people don't want to hear the truth, because once they know the truth, they're responsible for what they know. So be careful of gossip, of spreading gossip. You don't want to get involved with that one. Now, we're going to get into Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. I'm always saying this. And then he said, shall reward every man according to his works. And here is gossip. What kind of worship is, what kind of works is that? You ought to think about that. I've heard it, preachers preaching the pulpit and saying that don't be spreading gossip. Don't gossip. Don't say things. You really sometimes don't know the whole truth. Sometimes when a marriage is going sour, a man or a woman may tell their friend something bad about their partner. And well, who are their friends? Hey, they trust their friends. So therefore, they're going to listen to their friends. And whatever their friend says, they're going to believe. Okay? And then they're going to tell their some other friends something. And this is how things get spread on. Okay? This is how bad these things get spread on. All right, in Matthew 23, 1 to 7. I got this from the American Standard Bible. Christ warns the people to follow good teachings and not the examples of the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus said to the, verse 1. Jesus said to the crowds and his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Okay? They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make the, well, I'm not going to get into finish verse 5 here. I'm going to go to 6. They love the place of honor at banquets and most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to be called rabbi by others. Now, this is making it sound like they're doing a lot of things to make themselves look good, to help people look up to them. Okay? And Yeshua, whom they call Jesus in English, says, do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. I had come across a deacon. He told me, leave me alone. He had let something slip out of his mouth. So he told him, hey, leave me alone. He didn't want to hear what I had to say. And I had to back away from him. He said that he had a woman on the side. He was married, but he had a lover. He had a mistress. Okay? And he was a deacon. Always up there in the on the stage, in the pulpit with the preacher. And he had something going on the side. Okay, with another woman. So he's not practicing what he preaches, okay? He's supposed to be an example. And I'm sure there was other people there that knew about that, what was going on. And these things happen in our things. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about that. Things are going on in the within the group of believers. So we got to be careful. I do advise you to try to read the all of chapter 1 of Corinthians and chapter 2 also. There's a lot there. There were some things going on in Corinth that was not what it's supposed to have been. So you might want to read. Like I said earlier, read the verses before me and verses after me. I know I skipped a verse 5 here. And part of verse 5 I didn't read at all, that part of that. And I'm trying to keep this a little shorter. Now, a few examples of works. I was having a conversation, so what is works? I know about Ten Commandments. I mean, what other works are you talking about? Well, I just mentioned a few right here with you. But here's a few here. Obeying all the Ten Commandments. Trying to do the best you can do. In Acts 15, the disciples admitted that they couldn't really do it all perfectly. Okay? And in Acts 15, I know they told it the last chapter down there, last verses down there, it was They did not mention, I had people say, well, they didn't mention the, about the Sabbath. So therefore, we can do the Sabbath, and they didn't come up. I said, well, the Sabbath has never changed. Whatever day Jesus worship on is the day I worship on. And at that time, that was on the seventh day of the week. Okay? And we call that Saturday. All right? And I know some people have come up and says, well, that is not also correct, but it may not have been the correct day from the beginning when the seventh day. I know about the moon cycle thing. I'm not going to get into that at this time. But Jesus, as far as Jesus was concerned, it was okay. He did not condemn it. So I'm not going to condemn anything except I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm not going to follow what man's doing. I'm not going to follow all of this thing. I know in the book of Galatians what it says about certain issues, and people understood it, meaning that they didn't have to follow the Sabbath day on the seventh day of the week. So, and go to worship on the first day of the week. I always tell people, or read in the at the website of In God We Trust Ministry, in the website there's an article about several articles there about the Sabbath day and the worship, and about some things about Constantine. If you don't know about those things, I should go to that website, ingwt.org. And you can follow through with that there. There's a lot of writings in there. All right, a few other examples of works is love others and hate not anybody. Yeah, God don't like that word hate. Jesus, Yeshua said, love your neighbor. That's everybody. I know people make us wrong. And what makes people try to make us do things wrong, think bad and evil. They try to irritate us. Sometimes I even say, I hate you. So I'm not going to fall into those traps and go off about that. That's between them and God, and I'm going to stay out of that. And sometimes you have to stay away from those kind of people. Support the church and help to feed the poor. You know? I'm going to be doing a thing about that also, about the rich people. Spreading the gospels. That's right. We're not supposed to keep it. You got some information. We're preachers too. You're everybody who's listening to this. You're a preacher. Don't let anybody tell you not. As long as you know the God's words and try to do your best to follow them, good. Then you can spread the gospel. You can talk about your Father. Teach your children about Yeshua and God. Being a teacher of God's words. Teach your children and being a teacher of God's word. And one of the ways you can do this is I had a job, a tech support over the phone, giving out tech support and scheduling people to go on site and do some work on some video equipment. And one of the things I did in my cubicle at the table I have, or desk I had there, I put down a couple of small tracks. One of them was, what must I do to be saved? And I had a lady come over to that. She was one of the lead supervisors at another section, right across from where I was. And they did a little bit different work than what we did. We set things up. And well, I'm not going to get into that. But she came by my desk to some paper she had to give me. She saw that sitting there. And I said, yeah, I need to get back into church again. And she started reaching over with her hand, her right hand at that, to where that booklet was sitting there. And her hand started getting slower and slower as she got closer to it. And she got maybe about a foot from it. Her hand slowed down real bad until she got about 6 inches from it. She couldn't pick that book up. What Must I Do to Be Saved was the name of that booklet. A little thin, small booklet. It was like about 4 inches by about 6 inches. Not thick, only had about 7 pages or so. Maybe 10, something like that. And she could not pick that up. And she just turned and walked away. Back over to her side, to her desk, sat down. I looked at her. And she never came by my desk again. Never the whole time, the rest of the time I worked there. I thought that was kind of deep.
Okay.
And I was the only person there. We all had the little cubicles and things. I'm the only one that had anything there but God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit on my desk. I never said a word to anybody. I didn't have to say a word to anybody. I didn't have to do anything. I'd had the booklets there, free and clear for somebody to pick up. So that was doing some work, being teacher of God's word. I didn't have to say a word to do it. You can keep that in mind. Because, you know, some companies or places of work, they don't want you going there preaching nobody. But that was my own personal place. I mean, some people have pictures of their wives and their husbands and their children, little small pictures on their desk. Well, what's wrong with having a little trap on your desk? Nothing great big, a little small thing. What can they say? The management there didn't say a word about it because I wasn't bothering nobody. But it would tell you, it's one thing. It kept a lot of people away from my desk. All right, let me stop laughing about that. Now, we had. Here's some other works. We talk about the Ten Commandments. I know I mentioned that a few times. Thou shalt not covet. The tenth commandment. It says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox or ass, nor anything that is in thy neighbor's house. That it belongs to thy neighbors. All right, I got the King James Version written here. And that's the 10th commandment. Now, the word covets there. Now, that's a heavy word. It covers a large area of things. And they had a covetous, and then you had a covetous, covetous. And covetous, I hope I'm pronouncing that correct, covetousness. And I did some researches through several Bible dictionaries and Webster Dictionary and some dictionaries online. And the basic thing I came up with, covetousness is intense desire to possess something or someone that belongs to another. Basically, that's what covet means. That and covet itself is basically the same. Now, when you see covetous, there are places where that means desires of wealth and possessions or possessions. So you can mix all those three words together and you got a heavy situation here. And they can say, well, that's different. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Look at what Yeshua said, Jesus said, in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not of the abundance of the things which he possesses. For a man's life consists not of the abundance of the things which he possesses. Hey, you have people out here that has a whole lot of stuff, and some of them even boast, well, look what I got. Hard work got me all this big house and swimming pool in the ground and that Mercedes Benz and all that other stuff. And then they start looking down and people don't have as much as them. For a man's life consists not of abundance of the things which he possesses. Now, you want to consider that a sin or what? I'm going to leave that one up to you. You make your own decisions of what the Bible says. Not me. I'm reading from the Bible. In Luke 12. Well, I'm going to go. That was Luke 12. Make sure you read that. And read the verses before it and after. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 11, from King James Version. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother a fornicator or a covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such one not to eat. And I always understood that as, hey, don't hang out with them. You know, sometimes the birds of a feather flock together. So how can you hang out with people who do certain things that's against God's word, and you call that a good friend and always hanging out with them and, you know, so forth and so on. And it says, such one do not to eat. That means not to hang with them. Now in Mark 10, 24-25, and the disciples were astonished at these words, at his words. Now he's talking about Jesus' words here, what he said. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man, for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Well, it makes it sound like, it's a sin to be rich. I'm not saying it's a sin to be rich, but what you're doing with it. So you had the same thing in Luke 18:25. I believe you also can find that also in Mark, the book of Mark. Some people rich don't do nothing for nobody. They're looking out for themselves only. Being rich, money. It was said to me when I was going to community college many years ago, the rich had to climb a ladder to get to be rich. And it passed a lot of people going up that ladder. But when things could fall apart in their life, they passed them same people coming back down that ladder. So there were some rich people that didn't do nothing for nobody, treated people badly, may have been head of business, treated their employees terrible, fired people, and so forth and so on. I think you get my drift with this one. So be careful if you have a lot. Do a lot. Good for the sake of God. For Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Be guide your life. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. And in Matthew 9:23-24. And then Jesus said to his disciples, verily, verily, I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So you got Matthew and Mark and Luke saying, and they're also all three of those books. Now in Romans, and Paul said this in Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I know not sin, but by the law. For I know not lust, except the law has said, thou shalt not covet, C-O-V-E-T. Except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And I'll explain to you what covet was. Okay, that's pretty heavy verse down there. That 10th commandment covers a lot of areas. In Romans 3:9, chapter 13, verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. The false witness, you know, that's, you can call that gospel too. Thou shalt not covet. And there's any other command, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if you love everybody as yourself, if you love yourself, you're not going to hurt anybody. You're going to do your best not to hurt them. We're not talking about physical or physical and mental. You're not going to gossip and spread bad news on them. You're not going to try to hurt anything in their lives. You're going to try to keep them a little closer to God. And that can be important. You know, it's important to follow God's commandments. Okay, Jesus followed them. In Galatians 3:5-8. That's Galatians 3:5-8, King James Version again. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and work of miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that which are of faith, and the same are the children of Abraham. The scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. All right, all the nations will be blessed. So you got your faith and works. They all work hand in hand. Saved through grace. It could be some people would comprehend that, oh, something's wrong here. It says right here, believe in Jesus and you will be saved. Well, if you believe in Jesus, you got to follow his word. You believe in God, you got to follow his word. If you have the Holy Spirit, you will follow his word. We all make mistakes. That's why we had to sit back sometimes and get up in the morning and say a prayer. Every time we eat a meal, we're going to say a little prayer. Thank you. Thank you for that food. Thank you for the money that bought that food. Thank you for the person that cooked it real nice. My wife cooked it real nice for me. I said, thank you. There's a lot of people around the world starving. Don't have much. Some in your own same neighborhood where some of you may be living don't have as much as you. So we have to keep these things in mind. So that works. Helping out the poor. Help keep the church. And giving to the church. Talking to people that you think needs to be hearing. Tell people a Bible verse now and then. If you have a desk at work, you can put something on that desk. A little track on that desk. A couple of small different tracks on that desk. This works. Didn't have to say a word works. Just put it there. You might lose some friends when they know you're religious and so forth. But that's called works. Sometimes it's not always easy following God's words, doing his works. But going a good person is works. It was said to me once by my mother many, many years ago. She's passed now, but many, many years ago. She said, oh, that's good works. And see this man get up every day, this old man get up every morning, puts on a suit. He's walking down the street going to church around the corner. And he will do that every Sunday. Old man. He's showing what he's doing once a week. Well, that's works too. Yeah. People criticize, I heard it even in churches, criticize all preachers preaching on the radio and stuff and TV. Well, that's works. That's works. If you ever took a long drive cross country like, oh, you'll put some music on and so forth. But sometimes you might want to have a cassette or a CD, or whatever your music system has, and have some religious songs, music, or even have some sermons on there. What's wrong with that? I said to a person, maybe several, oh, yeah, I mean, listen to people on the radio, and they're number cults. They don't know what they're talking about. And I said, well, my view was, if you're church could afford to have a radio station, put your preacher when he's preaching every Sunday on the radio station. Somebody might say that about him. I hope y'all understand where I'm coming from. Okay? Your church may have a radio station. That's fine. But There are some people out there criticize that. I criticize some of them preachers myself, some of the things they be saying on some of them programs, but I know the truth. Don't know all the truth. Nobody does. But I know enough to know when they're saying something wrong and when they're saying something right. Okay? I know enough about that. I drove to California all by myself. So sometimes I wanted to hear something religious. Okay, while I was driving. So I have some religious music in my car. I have some CDs where there's some preaching on it, some short things on it. Sometimes you need it. It helps boost you up a little bit. So I'm going to be ending this here and hope to hear from you. You can send me anything you want. You can criticize or whatever, or critique. I have no problem with that. Actually, I look forward to that. Whatever you send. Okay. Now may God be with you. May God you. May God's love touch you. May God protect you from harm. May God open doors for you. May God forgive all the sins in me and everybody who's listening. I pray that you pray and ask for whatever you need to ask for. And trust God. And let the Holy Spirit help guide your life. And may God be with you. Today, tonight, tomorrow, and every day. I leave you with peace, love, and understanding from God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. In God, we trust. Ministry is signing off for now. Until the next time, love to all of you.